Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe if you want more and leave us some feedback. Away we go.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
The Nike Hoop Summit. You've heard about it for years. Get an opportunity to see some of the best young players in America, plus the world team, players from Cameroon and France and the Bahamas and China and all over the place. And our next guest is coaching the world team, Marshall Cho, longtime high school coach in the state of Oregon, most recently 8 years at Lake Oswego High School. He's a guy who's interested in growing the game, and he's joining us now. How you doing, Coach?
John, how are you?
I'm well.
How do I sound?
You sound great. Do you have a cold? Or are you under the weather?
Oh, no. I just, you know, I'm in the car being driven by our video coordinator, Dawood Akhtar. We are in practice number 10 heading to the Coach K Center at Nike. So I wasn't quite ready for the reps of, coaching, using my voice so much. But hopefully I'll be able to save it a little since the team is really dialed in and bought in and taking ownership of the game ahead.
Yeah, that's a great point, because we don't think about you having to be in mid-season form with your voice. Over the course of a normal high school season, I'll bet you have kind of the, your voice starts out okay, and then you lose it like 2 weeks into practice, and then you get strong again. Give me an idea. When the big-time names that we're going to see, you got some college commits on your roster. What do you see so far in practice?
Just speaking for the world team, it's just an incredible group, talented young men that's been put together by the Nike basketball group. But beyond the talent, they've been really coachable, just dialed in, and really care. They've learned to care about each other. And I think that's the biggest challenge in an all-star game like this. And I should add that this is not your typical all-star game. And I've said this before, in my humble opinion, I think it's the best post-high school season game that's out there. And especially given the changing nature of the NBA, the makeup of the players coming in from overseas, it's just a fascinating look into what's ahead in the game that pits, the best 12 players from the U.S. with, the 12 that the world has to offer. I'll be happy to talk to you a little bit about the roster that's been assembled.
This game will tip tomorrow, 7 o'clock, Moda Center, for people who want to see the Nike Hoop Summit. We're talking to Marshall Cho. He is the coach of the world roster. I'm curious about, we used to say, Marshall, that we could tell the difference between players who played in Europe or overseas versus American players. But I wonder today if maybe the game starts to look more and more the same as we see international players going into the NBA. But do you still see differences in sort of the development and the style of play with the non-U.S. players?
I mean, absolutely. It's a very interesting study, even for me, just kind of, digging in deeper and getting to know these players and where they come from. The makeup of last year's Hoop Summit team, we had 13 on the roster, and 10 of the 13 were actually already in prep schools playing in America, had come from all over the world, and already playing. So, people would ask, hey, did you need a translator? How did you get over the cultural differences? But a lot of the players have been in the States already. And this year's version of the team is really unique in that I would say the makeup is more half and half, where we do have kids who are, we even have players who were born and raised in the United States. Our best prospect, and really we say prospect, based on potential, but this is a player who's already shown to be incredibly capable. His name is AJ Devonta. He's the number one player in the junior class. That's what makes this game so intriguing, because, again, the narrative will be the number one player in the junior class versus the number one player in the senior class, who's Cooper Flagg on the U.S. team. But, we do have some players who were born and raised here but have chosen to, represent the world team in this particular event. And we've been talking a lot about how we're honoring our parents and our grandparents and our country and our heritage, from where we come from. So I'm giving you a long-winded answer, but what's been really interesting is the players who are coming from overseas, even though they play with the 24-second shot clock and you have to make quick decisions, you know, over the course of the week, they're the ones who are asking me and the coaching, rest of my coaching staff, for more structure, more sets, even though it's a shorter shot clock. So I think that goes to, you know, they know the balance of the skills that's necessary to get a shot off in a short amount of time, but also the importance of playing with another teammate, the importance of spacing, and the importance of decision making once the clock, you know, the shot clock winds down.
You've got a couple of players on the roster, the world roster, from NBA Academy in Africa. This is in Senegal. What do we know about that academy and its mission?
I mean, it's an incredible endeavor. You know, in this particular one, we also have Ahmad Musa from, you know, the NBA Academy in Australia. He's originally from Qatar. The two players, you know, Kamal Malawachu is the number three prospect. He's committed to going to Duke, 7'2" center from South Sudan. And Ulrich Chomchi from Cameroon. You know, these guys are, you know, if the academy didn't exist, in particular for these two young men from Africa, they would be coming in, you know, when you're 6'7", 2", or 6'10", like, you know, Ulrich, who would be eligible for the draft this year, you're going to get discovered at some point, and you're going to be brought into a situation in the U.S. Maybe you go to a prep school. But I think it's really a crapshoot, you know, what kind of community and what kind of people that they're going to, inner circle that they're going to be surrounded by. And what the NBA Academy has done is bring that professionalism, the level of, you know, preparation and high-level coaching. Many of them, ironically, you know, some of them I've worked with as when they were players, you know, growing up in Africa. You know, I did the Basketball Without Borders camp in South Africa for 3 years. It's a life full circle moment for me, seeing some of those guys that I coached at a camp, coaching these young men, in addition to, you know, just super experienced, you know, college coaches, who have, you know, made the trek across the Atlantic to, you know, work with these players. So the biggest thing I've been impressed with those prospects is they're much more skilled coming over now than what you may have seen in the past years. Their basketball sense, their awareness, and again, playing with the FIBA rules and shot clock at 24 seconds, their ability to read the game is significantly more advanced than the players that we've seen who are playing here, you know, today in America.
I'm fascinated by that. You've got players on the world team that are headed to Kansas, Missouri, Washington, Baylor, and Duke. Give us an idea from, you know, from a fan standpoint. Maybe people just want to come out and see a basketball game, or maybe they want to see some of the best young players in the world play. But college coaches, scouts, what do they use this game for?
Yeah, you know, the NBA scouts in particular, and the, you know, front office, you know, they come and, you know, it's one thing to witness a game on TV, but it's another thing to be close, you know, to be able to, you know, to hear the sights and sounds of what's going on the ground. You know, how are they cheering for their teammates? How is their body language? You know, how are they responding to adversity, coaching? You know, this is really one of the most important evaluation events in the NBA front offices. College, you know, because there's still players who are on side, you know, those coaches aren't allowed to come and watch. But, you know, a lot is riding on this game, a lot of pressure, a lot of money at stake, even, you know, that you can have a good game and have your draft spot go up. So the pressure is just immense. But, you know, it's, again, that makes it for that much of a more important, you know, evaluation event, you know, for these scouts to see.
Marshall Cho is with us. You've coached at a variety of different levels. You've coached all over the world. How do you, from a strategy standpoint or a game standpoint, how do you approach tomorrow's event?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've done some work before, obviously, the roster gets announced, you know, so you can do as much as you can in terms of gathering intel, you know, really on the X's and O's. You know, these guys on the USA side are all, you know, pretty much all Americans. But the other part of it is also there are some players on the roster who aren't, you know, because USA Basketball, and again, I've been involved on the junior national team side of things, volunteering for the last 10 years before hopping over to the world team as an assistant last year. But, you know, it's a strong culture. It's all about, you know, sacrificing, you know, your individual goals for the win. So I think it just starts there. You can look at all the scout film and see how talented they are individually, but you won't really get a sense until, honestly, you know, the ball tips off and you see how chemistry on their end is going to look like and chemistry on our end is going to look like. So you know, one of the most important things I learned when I was at the Matha Catholic as an assistant coach, you know, of one of the net powerhouse programs in the country is you don't worry about your opponents, you worry about yourself. And I think those are the programs that really, you know, they're spearheading it. You know, UConn, you just saw what Dan Hurley did, you know, a former high school coach who has now just built this program that's humming along. You know, you worry about yourself. You worry about how you connect with your players, how you make them feel valued, how you make them understand that they're also playing for something bigger than yourself. But I think you can do as much prep work as possible, but, you know, that's where the fun part of the coaching comes, making game adjustments. You know, for me as a head coach, I have incredible assistant coaches and support staff members that I've been leaning on all week. And I'm going to, you know, I've made it a habit to do that. So once the ball tips, it's, you know, it's automatic. You know, it's not, and it's nothing that we haven't done before the game tips off.
Marshall, the history of this game, six NBA MVPs have played in the Hoop Summit, including Kevin Garnett, Derrick Rose, Kevin Durant played in it, Joel Embiid more recently, 38 NBA All-Stars. Which player on the world team should people be most excited about? Let's just say you're trying to sell some tickets now, get people excited about coming to the event.
Yeah, I mean, the first player that pops off in mind is A.J. DeBonta Jr. He just recently played on the West Coast at Prolific Prep. He's an interesting case because, you know, his parents are from, you know, the Republic of Congo and Jamaica. So, you know, and but last year he played for the U16 junior national team for the U.S. program. He's going to, you know, try to win this game and turn around and compete on the national level at U17. He's generally regarded as one of the top prospects coming up in conversations with Cooper Flagg and Ace Bailey on the U.S. team. So, and he's got a dynamic game, 6'8", 6'9", incredible wingspan, perimeter game, handles it. I mean, you're looking at somebody who's kind of like a Kevin Durant, you know. So a lot of fun. It's been a lot of fun coaching him. Yeah, he's definitely worth the price of admission on his own. But, you know, I've already mentioned Kamon and Ulrich and these post players. But, you know, we have a player, BJ Edgecombe, who's from the Bahamas, just came 2 years ago. And I'll say this, like, a dynamic card. If you Google his name, you know, we were able to hold a Hoop Summit scrimmage at my old stomping grounds at Lincoln School High School in front of all the NBA GMs and scouts yesterday. And, I mean, he's on a fast break, you know, doing a windmill. I guess if you're in a dunk contest, I would have gotten 50s across the board. So, I mean, you have guys who are just so much fun to watch. This, you know, young man, I said, over the years, I've had the good fortune of working with the De'Aaron Fox or Scotty Barnes. And I always say, because of their spirit, and how they carry themselves, you can't have a bad day around them. And the biggest compliment I can give a player like BJ is that you can't have a bad day around this young man. And so if people come in, you're going to see, you know, a lot of players on our team that are going to play with a lot of grit, but also just a ton of joy.
From a coaching standpoint, obviously you talk about, you know, all of these players are here because they're exceptional on both teams. So how do you coach a team like that, maybe on a in a short window, and you know, get enough structure but not too much structure, if you know what I mean, and so that it doesn't inhibit their games? What kind of challenge is that for you as a head coach?
It's a challenge for sure, but I mean, by the way, it's amazing, John. It's almost like you could be a coach yourself. I mean, what you just said out there, that's the challenge of every youth coach out there as well, isn't it?
Yes. It's a challenge of every parent, Marshall. I deal with that challenge every day.
Yeah, no. That's a beautiful analogy there. It's similar in that way, I think, as parents, you know, not to get all philosophical here, but, you know, we've been talking about that a lot. I've been asking the guys, first and foremost, they're exceptional players already, but who are you playing this game to honor? And we did an exercise, you know, to start our very first practice. And I asked them, you know, for me, I coach to honor my parents and their immigrant sacrifice coming over from South Korea with nothing, not speaking the language, and doing everything so that me and my siblings could pursue our, you know, American immigrant dreams. And we've been able to do that. So there's power of testimony there, you know, from an adult. the locker room, asking them, like, who are you trying to honor with your game? And so I think it starts there, just their purpose. And then in terms of the actual X's and O's, you know, some years you're going to have a roster where guys can just get up and down. It's going to be fine. But other years, like I mentioned this year, you know, half of them want structure. So, you know, you let them play a little bit. Either way, you're making sure that the players experience some discomfort. And I think to bring it full circle with what you just said about parents, you know, so many of us today are, like, uncomfortable as parents when we see our kids having a hard time, having adversity, and we want to step in and fight or advocate even on their behalf. And I think the biggest thing, you know, like I learned as a coach that translates to real life is you're not going to become a championship standard team if you don't have any adversity in practice. If I'm bailing out my players with this calling a set play every time down the floor, and the opposing coach scouted me and are taking those sets like training wheels away from my players, how are they going to stand on their own? So I think that's the magic of it. I think the less, to be honest, you know, you set a principle, you set a standard, you set a purpose. But in terms of everything else, I think letting the kids figure it out. And when they fail, like reminding them to fail forward and get up fast and fail again, embrace the failure. I think those are the moments, you know, when I look back, the players who've received that from their parents are the same ones who show that resilience when difficult moments come inevitably on the basketball court.
That's so well put. I love that. Marshall, I'd love to get you back on when you got your voice back, and maybe we can download on the experience and, you know, what you got out of it. Good luck to you tomorrow, 7 o'clock, Moda Center, for people who are interested in checking out the event. Best players in the United States against the best young players in the world. Marshall Cho will be out there. Run the picket fence if you get in a situation you need a bucket late to win the game. You know that, right?
Thank you. I'll keep that in my back pocket. Just to clarify, I believe the girls' game takes place before.
Yes.
And I don't know if it's 4:30 and 7:30. So this is a second anniversary of the girls' game led by Carly Clark, who works with the Canadian national team for the world team. And we have a newly inducted Women's Basketball Hall of Famer in Sue Phillips from the Bay Area, who is returning as the junior national team coach. But yeah, you're right. It's a 7 p.m., 4:30 p.m. tip-off for the girls. What do you call it? 2-for-1? Buy one, get one free?
Girls
game coming before. Tickets can be found on NikeHoopSummit.com/tickets.
I love it.
And now I can get 5% of the commission from the organizers for that.
I love it. I'm also looking, you know, basically when you go to the Nike Hoop Summit website, it'll push you through to Ticketmaster, and you're right. 4:30 is when the early game starts, two games going back-to-back, and even the best seats in the house are affordable. We talk about all the time about families being able to see events, Marshall. I think this is a good one. I love it. I appreciate you, man. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks so much, Sean.
There he goes, Marshall Cho. He is the coach of the world team. 4:30 on the girls' game. Boys play at 7 o'clock, Moda Center tomorrow. One ticket gets both games. How about that? Leave it here. You got the bald-faced truth.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald-Faced Truth.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald-Faced Truth radio show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald-Faced Truth radio show. Thanks for listening.